Good morning. We begin again, or continue with our sermon series on Fixer Upper series. Today our text is Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. I invite you to either look on the screen, use whatever text that you have, both print and electronic. Let us pay attention to the words of our faith. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. And if you will, pray with me this prayer of illumination. Spirit of God, we confess that we put on airs more often than we put on armor of God. We are guilty of girding ourselves with lies instead of the truth. We try to protect ourselves with arrogance and self-reliance instead of righteousness, faith, and your gift of salvation. Our footsteps do not follow your path of peace. Forgive us, Holy God. Gift us with the wisdom and strength to change our ways so that we may live as your faithful ambassadors of the good news. Amen. In this series, we have discovered some things. In our first week of looking at demolition, we discovered there were three great lies that we've been told. The first lie is that we are what we own. That we are identified by all those things that we have, the cars, the shoes, the baubles, the tinsel. The other great lie is we are what we do. Our jobs, our vocations, our titles, the roles we have within our families. And the lie that is the hardest to jettison, the thing that is told to us from the very beginning, we are what people say we are or what they think we are. And that lie is the hardest to demolish in our lives. But the truth is, the great truth that God has been whispering to us all along, the truth is we are the image of God. God created us in the image of the Almighty. We are the bearers of that image. We also discovered last week when we were looking at repair is that our foundation is Jesus Christ. And we are chosen by God and have God's Spirit. God's Ruach has been placed in us. And as we have witnessed today, we are identified by our baptism. This is where you say amen. Oh, come on. Thank you, people. You got to help a sister out this morning. And over the course of these last few weeks, you've been invited to engage in different prayer practices. Remember, we talked about the centering prayer and the welcoming prayer and the prayer of examine. You've been invited to meditate, and I talked about the Calm app. Some of you have downloaded that because you've talked to me about it. Last week, I invited you to take a 30-minute solitude, and thank you for those of you who sent me a video or emailed me about it or texted me about your moments of solitude. Last week, you were invited to begin or enhance your personal Bible study time, and you were actually invited last week to take someone to coffee or tea just to listen to their story. And some of you did that. Great. Thank you. This week, we're going to look at paint and trim. Back several years ago, when it was a lot easier for me to get out of bed and it didn't sound like Rice Krispie treats or Rice Krispie when I got out of bed, I worked with the youth at my home church, City Road, and then I was a youth pastor, which confirmed to me my calling was not youth ministry. I would go on mission trips with the youth, either to Mountaintop or down to Mississippi Coast. And our favorite day in the youth group, our YRG, was to paint. I said, oh, today we get to paint. They go, yay! Until I said, but before we put paint on the walls, we had to do the prep work. Youth hated the prep work. But I would make them do it because we had to do. And we'd say, okay, now paint goes on the wall, not on you. And most people heard that. But one time I had a YRG, and I had a 13-year-old boy in the YRG. Now, I love 13-year-olds. I taught 7th graders for a long time. That's why I had this jerk. Yeah. And this 13-year-old kid came out at the end of the day. I did not recognize him. There was more paint. There was more paint on him than the wall. And I said, son, did anything get on the wall? He said, Pat, I don't know what happened. I mean, it was in his hair, all over his shirt, on his pants. I said, you cannot get in the van. So I called the YRG together and said, we have a problem. We have a situation here. Houston, we have a problem. We've got to get him back to the camp without going in the van. So one of the guys had a t-shirt, extra t-shirt, and some other guy, high school guy, had a pair of shorts. Of course, you know, it was a little 13-year-old boy, so anyway. So they found a place to get him changed. We threw his painted clothes into a garbage sack, and I said, you're going to explain that to your mama when you get there. And I said, when you took the brush out of the paint can, did you trim it? Did I do what? I said, did you kind of, you know, no, obvious. I said, well, we'll do the best we can. We sent him home. And the paint was, at the end of the week, the paint was still in his hair. Anyway, we've all had that happen, right? He didn't follow directions. Obviously, he had a problem listening. He was a messy painter. So, this is not a rhetorical question. When you get ready to paint a room, what do you have to do? I expect you to answer, talk to me. You got to do what? What's the prep work? You got to tape. Fill the holes in the wall. Got to wash the wall. Cover the carpet. Thank you. What do you got to do with the furniture? Move it, right? What about the pictures on the wall? Take them down. Mm-hmm. Move the curtains. Thank you. Yeah. Somebody in the first service said, hire a painter. I said, we don't have money for that. Maybe do some drywall work if there's been some. Speaking of that, one Thanksgiving, we were all together at my mom and dad's house, and my brothers, their sons were ages 6 to 15, and they were downstairs playing pool, and it got quiet. Never a good sign. And my dad said to his sons, go downstairs. Find out what's wrong. And there sat in the wall the 6-year-old. In the wall, little feet hanging. And my nephews, and y'all know one of my nephews, Greg, were nowhere to be found. They learned the art of how to replace drywall. Apparently the pool game went awry, and somehow the 6-year-old wound up in the wall. Little feet hanging. Anyway, if y'all ever get pulled over by Greg, ask him about the drywall experience. Y'all might get out of the ticket. I don't know. But so you got to prep the room, right? And when you get ready to paint, then you got to do the cutout, and then you can put, right. So there's more prep work than actual putting paint on the wall, right? Okay. That's what Paul was getting at in this scripture, is you got to be ready. First, you got to understand the context in which you find yourself. And Paul is saying to us, you need to be aware of the battle that you're in. And folks, we're in a battle. There is a spiritual warfare at play. And if you don't believe me, watch the news. Yes, thank you, Riggs. At least I get an amen from somebody on that one. Watch the news. There's hate, there's war, there are forces out there beyond just being negative, okay, that are fighting for our attention and our allegiance, that are trying to drive us apart, that are trying to tell us those three great lies, but they're trying also to drive wedges between people of faith, between families, between ourselves and God. They're trying to instill in us a sense of apathy, trying to instill in us depression and a sense of why bother, trying to tell us that we're isolated and alone, trying to tell us that it's hopeless. There's also forces out there trying to tell us that we're better than others, and that our opinion is the only opinion that matters. Just look at TV, and you will understand that we are in a battle. And that's what Paul was trying to get at when he said, finally look around and understand your context, and understand that you need to be prepared. And he says, fully prepared. Put on the full armor of God. Don't just put on one piece of it. Gird yourself every day. Be prepared for what you see. Know the truth. Know the truth as God gives it to you. Know who you are. Know whose you are. Be girded up in the scripture. Be committed in a community of faith. Don't think you have to do this alone, because you can't. Know that there's no place that you go that God isn't already there. Know that you have sisters and brothers who do love you because you are loved by God, not because of what you do or don't do, but because you are made in the image of God, and therefore you are worthy to be loved. Be fully prepared. And then Paul says, stand firm. That's steadfastness. When you're knocked down, get up. Don't give up. Be steadfast in your faith in the God who never, ever gives up on you. We all need a God like that, do we not? We all need sisters and brothers who are going to be there for us, because life is messy. Life is terribly messy. But we can have hope because there was a Sunday. Oh, what a glorious Sunday. A Sunday which Christ got out of a tomb and death was defeated. And we can claim that resurrection right now, not when we cross over. We are people of resurrection now, not later. We can live in the resurrection now, not later. You see, that's where some people have it wrong. We are resurrection people today. We live in that hope today. We live in that strength today. We live in that assurance today, not on the other side of the grave only. That, my friends, is the message of grace. That is the message of Jesus Christ. Be steadfast in the word. That is the good news. That is what we proclaim. Amen? So I have three things I want you to do this week. I'm going to invite you to do. One, be aware of what you see and hear. 90% of what we take in comes from our visual senses. And yet, I doubt very seriously if you're conscious of what you see. Everything's so visual for us. And you take so much in that you're not processing consciously. Parents, how much do your children see that you're not even aware that they're seeing? You got a three-year-old in your house, you know this. They see and hear everything. Then they go out and tell everything. I taught three-year-old Sunday school for the longest time. I know things about people at City Road, you know? But what we see and hear, even if we don't think we're seeing and hearing, is being processed. So just be aware of it. And then decide if you need to change that. Secondly, what books are you reading? I mean, I've been after you to read more of the Bible, but what other books are you reading? What information are you bringing into your consciousness, into your world? I'm reading a fascinating book. I'm one of those people that read four or five books at the same time. I know, it's odd. I know. But I'm reading a really fascinating book right now. I always have a leadership book that I'm reading. This one's called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. I'm finding it terribly fascinating. Not only is it about leadership, but it's got some great life lessons in it. Leadership and Self-Deception. It really talks well about relationships that can be applied to family and personal relationships, not just organizational relationships. So I lift it up to you. I don't normally bring y'all book ideas, but this one's great. And the other thing is, just like painting and trimming brings beauty back to our rooms and our homes, let's face it, we need to bring beauty back to our earth. We need to be taking care of God's creation. So do something this week. I invite you to do something to help our earth become more healthy. Hey, you see a coffee cup on the street, just pick it on the sidewalk, pick it up. Do something to care for God's creation. So three things. Become aware, more aware of what you're seeing and hearing. Think about what else you're reading, bringing it into your conscious world, and then do something kind for the earth. Simple enough? All right. Thanks be to God. As our musicians come,